Our scripture reading is from Matthew 6, verses 1 to 15. It's on page 964 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 15. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of God. As a preliminary, it's good to be here again, of course. As a preliminary, I have all this mess on my forehead because I've got the threat of skin cancer, as some of you probably have as well. And so the doctor said, put this in your forehead and it'll do all sorts of things that will look terrible, but will probably fix up your skin cancer before you get it. So that's what's going on. It's not because I'm looking for sympathy or anything like that. It's just that's how it is, okay? Well, I know it looks pretty disgusting, but that's it. You can cope. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's not a drama. Also, I have on my notes here that I had the option of preaching the long version or the short version. And I decided to preach the short version. And you'll get, in a month's time, Lord willing, you'll get the second half. Because you can have too much information and you just can't cope. I mean, that's just how our brains are. And yes. So the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, that means he taught us. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, they're well-known words. We know the words of the Lord's Prayer. But what do we mean? I mean, it's important for us to think, what do we mean? I'm not saying you don't think that, but at least I'm reminding you of what we mean when we say, your kingdom come. Because you know how it's easy to say the words and not really think about what we mean. The Shorter Catechism tells us that there are two aspects to the kingdom. I wrestled with this a bit as I was doing, because I don't want to lead you astray. But you do see that in Scripture as I thought about it, that Jesus talks about the ultimate, and that may have been that is the ultimate end of our prayer, when Jesus returns and the kingdom comes, in that way. But also he told us that the kingdom has started and is growing. And so at least when we pray, your kingdom come, we should be thinking of and praying that the kingdom will spread until Jesus comes. And that first aspect of the prayer, of the kingdom we want to think about today, that is the present aspect of the kingdom and praying for that, so that we are praying your kingdom come when Jesus returns, but also this first phase. And so we want to think about what's the kingdom of God. And you might say, well, God is ruling over everything now. Some of the songs we're singing there talking about God's rule now, and God does rule now. He works all things according to his will. Amen. That's true. Psalm 99 in the version we sing says, let the nations tremble, for the Lord is reigning from his throne above the angels. That's a reality that's actually happening now. The Lord isn't asleep. He isn't somewhere else. Remember, Elijah said the prophets of Baal. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on a journey. Our God is never asleep. He's never on a journey. He's always, always involved. We sing, your kingdom has no end at all. I think this was our verse this morning, one of our verses this morning. Your kingdom has no end at all. Through all the angels, ages you will reign. See, isn't God ruling everything now? Yes, God is ruling everything now. He is. We don't understand how it works, but God hasn't lost the plot. He hasn't blinked. He hasn't taken his hand off the wheel. So God is ruling now. And so it's good to ask the question, well, what do we say, your kingdom come? What do we mean? See, because God is ruling. Psalm 115, in one version that people sing, for our God lives in heaven high and carries out his will, and it's better translated, and all that pleases him he does. All that pleases him he does. All that pleases him he does. God is in control. He rules everything now. But you see, God's rule is not acknowledged now. It's not accepted now. It's not submitted to now. That's the problem. Yes, God rules everything. But people say, we will not have this man rule over us. They shake their fist at God, either ignorantly or deliberately. God's anointed King, the Lord Jesus, is not served and honoured now, is he? The kingdom of God we pray for is God's rule through his anointed King, the Lord Jesus, being acknowledged, accepted, happily submitted to by everyone, everywhere. That's what we're praying for. That's what we want. That's what we should want. And as I said, the majority of people say by their words, if not by their words, then by their action, we will not have this man to rule over us. And in fact, brothers and sisters, you know that you can talk about God. And people, they can cope with that. But start talking about Jesus as the only way, and people are not happy. I remember the film Chariots of Fire. Remember the film Chariots of Fire? Yes? We remember that. And you sort of feel good, you know, there's the runner, you know, the Christian man. Unless I'm mistaken, Jesus isn't mentioned once. Jesus is not mentioned once. People don't want to hear about Jesus. But you see, God has put Jesus, his son, on the throne. And then the kingdom coming now, and then, is people submitting, every knee bowing to the Lord Jesus. What do the leaders of the nations say? Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. The rule of God and his Messiah is not acknowledged. It's not accepted now. And so in that sense, our Father's kingdom has not come. And I think, brothers and sisters, that we can get used to this situation because we're not getting bothered much, and we can get used to it. But you see, things are not right. Things are not right. And that's why we pray, your kingdom come. We pray, your kingdom come. We want every knee to bow to the Lord Jesus, willingly. We're praying that that nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. We're praying that the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We pray, your kingdom come. And so, it hasn't come. And there are two phases, like we said. There's the present phase and the future. And we want to think about that present phase of the kingdom now. And as in the songs there, that the present phase of the kingdom has started, has begun. You see, because Jesus, the Father's anointed King, has come. It came in him, it didn't come fully. That's why we still pray for the full kingdom to come. But when Jesus came, the kingdom came. God's rule, recognised by some, And is this working in the world now and growing still? Do you remember, you know, the seed is sown, the yeast is put in the dough, just little, I mean, but it goes, it grows. You remember in Daniel, the statue, right? And there's this rock that is cut without hands, and it hits the statue, the world's kingdoms in the feet, and it grows to fill the whole earth, the big mountain. That's the kingdom, right? And so that's the vision. And we shouldn't lose that vision when we pray, your kingdom come. So what are we praying for? God's rule through his anointed King Jesus would be recognized for what it is. God's rule, God's way, the only way. We pray that it be willingly submitted to in every aspect of life, personal, family, society, church, education, work, leisure, hobbies, health, politics, local and state, federal and international, that every knee will bow. God's kind rule under King Jesus recognized. That's a big ask, isn't it? And first of all, you see, what we're praying for this. That this is not first of all saying, go out and make it happen. No? The first thing is pray. Pray that this would happen. It's great to have that view in mind. Well, it's biblical to have that view in mind. And even as I preach, I say, I lose the vision. I lose the vision. I sometimes dream about, can you imagine the day when COVID's over and the trains are rolling into Jolimont and rolling into Southern Cross. People are coming in their hundreds. And they're going to the MCG. And as they go, they sing, Jesus will reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. Hundreds of them, thousands of them. Not to see a football match, not to see the Olympic Games, but to worship the King. That's what the kingdom of God would look like, wouldn't it? Yeah? And you think, how could that be? I was listening today about this guy on a podcast, and he was just talking about worship and so on. But he's talking about the revivals that occurred in the Great Awakening. And God changed people. God changed people. You read about revivals. God can change people. So, the vision, you see, that's the vision. And we pray, your kingdom come. We pray that people would believe the gospel, trust the Lord Jesus, be delivered from their sin and serve him, and their lives would change and they would grow in grace and they'd love him and they'd love one another. And the Holy Spirit would be working in their hearts. That's what we pray for. And so what do we pray for when we pray your kingdom come? We pray for the spread of the gospel in the power of the Spirit, the spread of the effective life-changing gospel, because the kingdom grows and it only grows in this way. There is no other way. It's by the gospel being believed, being heard, being accepted as true, being submitted to and believed. So long as Jesus delays, we pray for his return and his kingdom to come in full, but we also pray for phase one as well now. And the growth of the kingdom as it comes now. And we pray for this in ourselves as well. We pray for this in ourselves as well, as citizens of the kingdom, that the kingdom will grow in us. You know, we all know 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. you can rattle it off, I can rattle it off my lips. But Lord, in me too, that the kingdom may come more and more, right? So that really, you know we're not saved. We're not saved because we've got it all together or because we're perfect. You understand that, right? But then because we're saved, we're saying, Lord, make it grow in me. The seed is there. Make it grow in me as well. So, there are things, aren't there, to pray for when we pray your kingdom come. And so I do remind you the kingdom came in this way 2,000 years ago. John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That's what he's talking about, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. In the life and work of the Lord Jesus, the kingdom of heaven came near. And if come near is not near enough for you, listen to what Jesus says. He says, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, which he had just done, if I drive out spirits by demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come to you. In the Lord Jesus, the kingdom came. I think, you check for yourself. But think about, Jesus was special. I mean, he's world-changingly special. The kingdom came in him. The ultimate kingdom came in the Lord Jesus. And so you saw that from what he did. Broke in a new way. It had started, not fully arrived, but it had started, really started. And we do pray for this started phase now, as well as the one that is to come. We pray your kingdom come. But you can say, well, you know, he came, but he went back to heaven. What about the kingdom then? What happened then? I mean, the kingdom operating on earth still? I mean, Jesus is gone. Well, the kingdom is still operating now, even when Jesus went back to heaven. And we know, because you can look in the book of Acts, you can look in the parables, can't you? You look in the parables about the like I said, the seed sown, right? Jesus, but the seed's still growing, right? And the yeast, right? So we remember that. But the whole book of Acts is an account of the growth of the kingdom. Now, I just check this out. The book of Acts begins. He presented himself alive to them, appearing to them during the 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. How does the book of Acts end? Paul's in Rome, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus. So it looks like these bookends, that Acts is about the kingdom of God growing, and it was growing. So the kingdom didn't leave when Jesus went back. But see, you might say, well, yes, it says he's talking about the kingdom, and it's just the kingdom then, not the kingdom now, you know. Now, I don't think that's the best understanding. Okay. But, okay, even before Paul got to Rome, he wrote to the Christians there, right? And he says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating, drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, he's talking about the kingdom of God right there. He's not talking about the kingdom there. He's saying to you, the kingdom of God. So these people are citizens of the kingdom, wherever the gospel works. I know we don't do this because we're Presbyterians, we don't look around in church, but if you did look around in church, right, you'd see kingdom of God people. Huh? That's what's going on, see? Right? We forget that we are, that God has done something. Something has happened and is happening. I'm just reminding you, right? Because Paul writes to the Christians and writes to us. Right? Because the Roman Christians, like the Bellarine Presbyterian Christians, are citizens of the kingdom. And it was there and it still is there even until Jesus comes back again, even though he's in heaven. And we still pray for that. We still pray, your kingdom come more and more. Well, it's good to ask the question, so what? Well, I've already said this, you're trusting in the Lord Jesus today as your Lord and Saviour. in his grace and mercy, then you are a citizen of the kingdom of God already. There's more to come, but you're in now. You've got the passport, you've got the ticket. No, not right. It's grace, but it's good. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And so we have received the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our lives. And so that's why our lives change, because the Holy Spirit works in us. We call it sanctification, but that's what's going on. And that's kingdom work that's happening. And that kingdom will not fail and will not be defeated. See, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And things come and go, but taking the long view, the kingdom will not be defeated. They say that in Afghanistan, the Taliban said of the Americans and probably the Australians as well, you have watches, we have time. Well, Christians have got all the time, because Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. So the kingdom is growing. It's not always consistent. It ebbs and flows. It's shrinking in the west at the moment, growing in the east, growing in the south, growing in China, growing in Iran. Because, as I said, remember the parables, the seed, the yeast, the rock of Daniel. Jesus said his kingdom would grow. A while ago when I prepared this sermon the first time, and I haven't updated this, but this is worth thinking about. Back, I can't remember when it was, that it wasn't all that long ago. Well, doesn't matter. It was in the last 10 years. More Muslims have come to faith in the Lord Jesus in the last 40 years than the previous 1,000. Pre-9/11, there are only 17 former Muslim Christians as known in Afghanistan. Today, or then, there were 10,000. In Iran 30 years ago, there may have been 500 Christians. National pastors believe there may be more than 1 million. I think it's even bigger than that now. I believe that... I never know what I've said in one place or another, but anyway, you may have forgotten as well, so that's okay, right? Seemingly that one of the leaders in Iran, one of the religious leaders in Iran, got on television, held up a New Testament and said, no one should read this. What an advertisement, you know? Everybody wanted to read it, you know? But I mean, that's what happened, you see? That God uses his enemies even to cause the gospel to spread. So national pastors believe there'd be more than that's in Iran. Kazakhstan, the stands, which I hardly know anything about. In 1990, they say there were 3 Christians. Now there's more than 15,000. Uzbekistan, 1990, no known Christians. Now more than 30,000. In Bangladesh, the church is growing faster than the population rate. Now they're things. Now we're not all triumphalistic, you know. Oh, you know, because think of the world, you know. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The fields wide under harvest. Robert Dabney, who was a Presbyterian American in the 1800s, he preached a sermon, I don't remember the title. I think it went like this. China, ripe under harvest, reap or it perishes. See, and that's the thing. It's ripe under harvest, but it needs... We need to pray, your kingdom come. See, the battle of the kingdom's not over. There are still millions who've not heard the good news of the kingdom. Australia is looking less and less. When I preached this the first time, is Australia looking less and less like the kingdom of God? Absolutely, right? Things are moving, right? It's frog in the kettle thing, but it just keeps moving, right? We thank God for places where people stand up against this. But this is here too, we pray, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. So we think of some specifics. Here's an aside. I find it helpful sometime, somewhere in my praying, to use the Lord's Prayer as a sort of a framework. There's no compulsion. I'm just saying I found it useful. So that, you know, if you say... and you come to your kingdom come, and then under that heading, I think of different things to pray for connected with that to understand, and then your will be done, and so on. Right? So, when we pray your kingdom come, then we can think of the growth of this phase of the kingdom in other countries like China or Japan or India or Pakistan or North Korea. North Korea, you know. But the hermit kingdom, you know, the doors are not locked to the Holy Spirit. And Iran and Saudi Arabia and Yemen and Ghana and Niger and you can go South America, Brazil, Colombia, Chile and so on. But also locally in Australia, in Geelong, on the Bellarine. There's great need here too. Not for freedom to spread the gospel yet, right? We don't know what'll happen. But a need for the ability and the effectiveness of spreading the gospel to spread. So, with other countries in mind, yes, pray your kingdom come. But here too, pray your kingdom come. Pray. So first thing we're saying is pray. Not witness or hand out a tract. You understand, I'm not saying don't witness or don't have, but the first thing, pray. Pray that your kingdom might come. And so we can pray, as Matthew 9:37 says, pray that the God would send labourers into the harvest. For teaching elders, ministers who preach and teach the gospel, and for ruling and pastoring elders who teach and shepherd God's citizens of the kingdom. And especially for those who have the abilities to evangelise. You know, not everybody's the same. We're all not the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul prays, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. We're different. And you might be giving a cup of cold water in the name of Christ. And that's your contribution to the spread of the gospel as you pray. Whereas someone else, God has made them able to speak in a way that you can only hand a cup of cold water and say, praise God, or whatever it is. Your behaviour. And so we pray that God would provide those who are specially gifted and able to evangelise, to take the gospel of the kingdom into the highways and byways in the power of the Spirit, always in the power of the Spirit, to the perishing people. Pray your kingdom come. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send labourers into the harvest. I was helped by some words in 2 Thessalonians, where Paul writes, chapter 3, verse 1, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honoured as happened among you. So that's what he's praying, you know, that the word will spread. Pray for the spreader of the gospel. Pray for the effective spreading of the gospel. Now, what does that look like on the ground? See, as he says, as it was among you. Well, interestingly, if you go back to 1 Thessalonians, we learn how it was among them. So this is what they're praying for. Our gospel came to you, this is 1 Thessalonians, came to you not only in word, but also in power in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. That's what we're praying for. That the gospel comes that way. Not just in words, but with power in the Holy Spirit and in full conviction. He says, you receive the word with the joy of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're praying for. That it'll come with the joy of the Holy Spirit. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Saviour from heaven. That's what we're praying for. That people out there turning from idols, the footy or whatever might happen to be, classical music or whatever. Right? We can think, you know, oh, you know, I should turn for footy, you know, but classical music, you can become addicted to lots of things. I'm not saying either footy or classical music is wrong, but when it becomes an idol, and we're saying, turn from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. That's the kingdom, action and attitude. And that's what we pray for. And only God our Father can do this. But he does answer prayer. If he will answer as we pray this way, then men and women, boys and girls, will repent. We'll trust the Lord Jesus, we'll receive the Spirit, we'll learn to live their lives as citizens of the kingdom, and the kingdom will grow. So we pray, your kingdom come. Pray it privately, your kingdom come. Pray it in family worship, your kingdom come. Pray it Sunday mornings, your kingdom come. Fellowship group, pray your kingdom come. So we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray that your name will be kept holy by us and your name will be glorified, and that we might not bring shame on your name. Lord God, all glory to you. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us, we pray, from selfishness and self-centeredness. Your kingdom come. We pray, O Lord God, that you will send the labourers into the harvest, but that you will be working by your Spirit in and through and around this congregation too. Lord God, have mercy. Honour the Lord Jesus, we pray. Our Lord, remember us in your grace. All glory to you through the Lord Jesus. Lord God, may your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.